Okay, last week we were at Cowboys training camp in Oxnard, and I took a field trip on Wednesday. It was actually supposed to be on Friday. That's why I stayed out there an extra day. Gordo and I came back Saturday with the hard line and the sweet spot. But as it turned out, I ended up doing this on Wednesday because they called me earlier in the week and they had to reschedule. This story goes back to last fall, last football season. I told you the story of me and my buddy John. We took a road trip to the Grove to see the OU Ole Miss game in Oxford, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. That was in October, I think. Well, he and I are in the waiting area at DFW Airport, and we get on our flight to Memphis. And on the flight, a guy sits down next to me in that row, and we start talking. And he said, "Hi, my name is Brian. Just want to let you know I'm a big P1. I've listened to you guys forever. I grew up in Lubbock. I went to Texas Tech. Lived in Dallas for a while and been in Texas for a long time." He said, "But for the last many years, I've been in Los Angeles." And he said, "I just want you all to know I still stream you. Big fan." Very cool. Very nice guy. And then he says, "I couldn't help but overhear you and your buddy talking in the waiting area as we were in line to get on the plane about your heart situation." And I was talking to John about my irregular heartbeat, I think. I don't have a heart problem, mm-hmm. per se, but I have this benign irregular heartbeat that a lot of people have. It's like a skipped beat. Boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 like that.
Okay.
And I've had it checked out a couple of times, and the cardiologist always says, "It's benign. Millions of people live with this. Don't worry about it."
Yeah, but it's still your heart.
But it's still your heart.
It makes you a little nervous.
Yeah. Anything with the heart gets you a little nervous. And he said, "So I heard you talking about that, and I want you to know I'm the COO of Cedars-Sinai Hospital in Los Angeles. And we have the number two heart hospital in the world. So if you ever want any of our guys to check you out, let me know."
Yeah, but what's the number one?
And I said, "Well, we come out there every summer for Cowboys camp, so I may actually take you up on that." So then fast forward to this spring, and I wrote Brian an email, and I said, "You know what? I think I'd like to take you up on that offer. It can't hurt to get your heart checked out by the best. So we'll be out there the week of July 20th. If there's anything available, let me know." And he said, "I'll go to work on it." So then another month passes, and I hear back from him, and he said, "Okay, I'm going to put you in touch with Dr. Ebinger's office, and they're going to see you that week." So I started communicating with his assistant and made an appointment for last week when we were out there. So that Wednesday, after we got off the air, I got in the car, and I drove down to L.A. It's a 60-mile trip from where we're staying in Oxnard to Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles. 60 miles took 2 hours because of the L.A. traffic.
That's incredible.
The route that Waze took me was right through Beverly Hills because Cedars-Sinai is basically in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
And it took me right through the heart of the mansions in Beverly Hills, and it's fascinating. And I even got off the beaten path a little bit more and drove through some of those neighborhoods hoping to see Brad Pitt or George Clooney or somebody like that just walking around. But you can't see anything. The thing that I noticed is that all of those mansions have giant fences, shrubbery, trees, gates. You can't even see the houses anymore. Mm. All you see are the gates and the walls and the greenery surrounding the mansions. I probably drove down 10 different streets, and I could see a house maybe once on each street, and everything else, walls and gates.
Wow.
But kind of cool to drive through there anyway and imagine who might be living in that house. Is that Steven Spielberg's house? Is that Tom Cruise's house? You don't know. So I get to Cedars-Sinai, and they take me up to I go to the Heart Hospital. It's a giant campus. I can't remember how big he said it was, but it's a huge campus over many city blocks. Go to the Heart Hospital, go up to this doctor's office, and doctor comes in, talks to me for 45 minutes. I had a million questions, of course, because I'm fascinated with the human body and the heart and how it all works. And had questions for him about my cholesterol and my irregular heartbeat and these tests that I've heard you should get, blood tests that I've never had. Should I get these? He said, yeah, absolutely. These are good, interesting markers, and they'll tell us, you know, how you're doing and where you're headed. So he ordered some blood tests for me, and they gave me a little heart monitor patch so I can wear that for a couple of weeks. And it's kind of like a halter, but it's more of a patch, more high tech. So I'm going to wear that for a couple of weeks. He said, give us a good idea of these irregular heartbeats and what they're doing. But he wasn't concerned. He said, yeah, it sounds like they're benign. You don't appear to have any problems, but let's do this. Anyway, he was really nice, really great. After that, Brian comes and gets me, and he said, would you like a tour of the campus? I said, absolutely. I drove all the way down here. This is like the most famous hospital in America. It's where Frank Sinatra died. It's, you know, any big celebrity.
Yeah, it's where they take them.
That's where they go, is Cedars-Sinai.
See, that's why I won't go there. Seems like too many people have died there that I've heard of.
not too many success stories.
I hear the death ones.
I think they've had plenty of success stories, but like any hospital, they don't bat 1,000.
Right.
And like any hospital, I'm fascinated with hospitals and just how they run and the numbers of people that they run through there and the fact that they have a lot of success stories. So there's a lot of joy in hospitals. That's where babies are born. But there's also a lot of sadness in hospitals. That's mm-hmm. where people go to die. And, you know, people that suffer these horrible injuries and accidents, they're taken there. And there's a lot of joy and a lot of sadness in these places. And it makes it a really fascinating building to visit.
Takes special people to work there, too.
Boy, it really
does. See those stories every day.
Yes. And so he took me to all different parts of the hospital. He took me to the teaching wing. It's a teaching hospital, one of the best in the world. And it's amazing what they use now to teach these future doctors. They used to work on cadavers. Now it's all of these, they're mannequins, for lack of a better word, but they're extremely lifelike. The disturbing thing was all of their faces, they construct to make them look like they're in agony.
Oh, so gosh.
It's really weird. But that the teaching lab and the robots in there.
Robots?
You know how
robots?
They teach the doctors to operate by robot?
We're about to find out. That's who operated on Dion.
Yes.
Was a robot.
Yes.
Robot.
And to see how they learn that, the I can't remember what he said those individual machines cost. But the doctor will sit down, in this case the student, put their hands in these two little bucket-looking things, and then they can operate the robot that's doing the operation. It's really wild.
Crazy.
So the teaching hospital was fascinating, and they had a bunch of future doctors in there that were, you know, working on one of these mannequins as though he had just been brought into ER, and they learned that you have to stand in a certain place. You have to, you know, listen to this person. You have to watch this machine. It's really incredible. So we went from that to a very top floor. He took me to where the robots live.
Hold on.
Hold it.
Yes.
It's one of the craziest things you've ever said.
He took me to where the robots live. On the top floor, it is all robots that are running the hospital, basically.
I think this is a dream he's telling us about.
I swear.
You know, hey, listen, Craig, we appreciate it, man.
Well, you went to the hospital.
George and I are going to finish the show. You just head on down to the break room, hang out for
maybe
a little while.
Maybe go down to the robot room.
You know the robots that deliver
the robots
food?
Robots are waiting for you.
The robots that deliver food to us that we see on street corners around Dallas.
I almost hit one yesterday.
Right. Well, this is a whole floor of robots that are taking scrubs to one place, that are taking other supplies to another place. And it's just this floor, and that's all that's up there are robots.
Okay, well,
they're not robots. They're not robots that look like Rosie from the Jetsons.
I think the hang up is that you maybe should have said this is where the robots are stored or housed or whether they're working.
It's where they live and work.
It's not live. The live is the problem.
It is where they live.
So they all have their own dorm room.
They had posters hung posters. Up of like the Jetsons robot.
Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah. They had a mess hall.
Robot Penthouse next week on Bravo. Beds.
Gosh. Really fascinating. Then he takes me to the emergency room, and the Cedars-Sinai emergency room is like, it's Parkland here, you know.
Yeah.
It's the busiest ER. They have 51 rooms. 46 of them were full at the time. I didn't see anything crazy or gnarly or anything like that, but you see a lot of people being tended to.
You didn't ask if you get set a leg or anything like that?
No,
that wasn't part
no.
of your executive experience?
Trust me, down there in particular, I felt like I was in the way. I wanted to stay out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And he said they're constantly, you know, worried about filling up. They had six available rooms at the time, but they're getting people in all the time. And so they 24/7, 365 days, they are just trying to move people out of the ER, get them to ICU, or, you know, best case scenario, get them to a normal hospital room or discharge them. But it's just constant. And I've reviewed the show The Pit on here, which is on Max, and we've watched the first few episodes with Noah Wiley, and it's about an ER in Pittsburgh. And I've said, oh, this feels unrealistic. There's just so much going on, and can they really do that much in an hour? So I asked him, I said, have you seen The Pit, and is it realistic? And he said, 100%.
Yeah,
he said, that is our ER. There's a lot going on all the time.
Yeah, think about that. In a big city, there's only so many emergency rooms.
Yeah.
And
I don't know. When I've been to an emergency room, it seems pretty low energy.
This wasn't. Okay. I mean, I guess it depends. If you have a bunch of gunshot victims come in, then it's high energy.
Yeah.
If you have people who think they may be having a heart attack, but they're not sure, so they're being monitored, that would feel low energy. He did say, we hardly get any car crash victims here. And he said, whereas at Parkland in Dallas, you get a ton of car crash victims. Why? Because in L.A., the traffic is so bad, nobody can drive fast.
Yeah, you're not
going
fast
enough.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
Isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And then the final stop on the tour at Cedars-Sinai, he took me to the helipad, the very top floor. We were, maybe 10 stories up, and it was an incredible view, 360-degree view of Los Angeles. You saw downtown over there.
Sweet.
The ocean communities over there, Santa Monica Mountains and Malibu over there, Hollywood sign over there. Just this sweeping view of L.A. from the helipad where they bring all those VIPs, you know, or any kind of emergency patient that they bring there to that helipad.
Well, you got a VIP tour.
I got a VIP tour. So I want to thank Brian.
Get a free shirt, free T-shirt.
He did give me a Cedars-Sinai mug, coffee mug.
Okay, nice, a VIP mug.
Yeah, and want to thank everybody there. They were really nice. Thank him for the tour. Thank him for setting me up with that heart exam. Very glad I made the trip. We were running on fumes because we didn't get much sleep last week. But even though it was a two-hour drive each way, it was well worth it. That's a fascinating hospital.
That's cool.